That was good.
All right. I would like to, let's see. I want to pin Angie to the screen. I was about 48 years old when I learned that Angie had been born, and she was about, were you about 6 years old at that
Yeah,
time?
week six.
I was living in Massachusetts, and she was in Pennsylvania, and I was reunited with my birth mother and my sister. I didn't know my sister was born either, and she was I was 18 years older than she, so she must have been about 30 at the time. And then she had two daughters, one of whom is the oldest is Angie, and Angie is here tonight to tell her story, her faith, and her experience. And I'm recording this so that we'll all have a record of it. I know that your mom might like to see it too.
Oh yeah. She actually asked if she could sit in. I said, no, I want to talk first, but you can listen to it after. I said, I'm sure Uncle Richard will record
All right, I will make sure she gets a copy of the recording.
Yeah.
Angie, would you tell us your story? Tell us about
Sure.
your faith and what happened to you and the details of it and how that affected your life.
Okay. So I had a massive stroke almost 5 years ago in August. So this year in August, it'll be 5 years at 34. And I'm turning 40. Can you believe that? I'm going to be 40. 40 in November. It was very unexpected and sudden, for sure. I'm a completely healthy person. Otherwise, I had no idea I was having a stroke. I actually was really sick for about 3 days before, like vomiting, and then like so bad, like food poisoning, standing up, trying to stand up. My balance was off. My eyesight was off. I'd fall asleep, wake up, then I was fine. And I did that for 3 days. And then on the third evening, I actually teledoxed a doctor because I was so sick I couldn't even drive. And I lived alone at the time. And because of my age, she asked me if I was pregnant because I was 34. And I said, no. I said, this is not, no, I'm not pregnant. And this is like really bad food poisoning or something. I'm not sure. So she prescribed me nausea medicine. And then the next day, I had a stroke. So there are two types of strokes. I call it the clot kind, a clot that forms in wherever in your brain, and it blocks oxygen flow to your brain, makes you pass out. That's the kind I had. And then there's the other kind called a hemorrhage stroke, where your brain, for some reason, between your skull and your brain, blood, like it hemorrhages, it bleeds. So I had the first kind. I later found out I had an artery tear in my neck that caused the clot, that caused a stroke, but they still don't know why that happened. The story of my stroke, though, the actual when it happened, and then everything that I went through in ICU and outpatient and inpatient, that is where my faith comes in. So I would consider myself a very spiritual person. I have a very strong faith in God and Jesus. My Grammy, who is my Uncle Richard and my mom's mother, she's passed, but she was a strong believer, and that passed down to my mom and passed down to me. But I would definitely say I'm more spiritual for sure. Since I've been a little kid, I have two cats in here, so sorry if I'm looking down my foot. Since I've been a little kid, I've been a seer, and that's actually something the Bible talks about, a gift of the Spirit. I didn't know I had that gift when I was little, so I used to sense good and evil, I guess you can say presences, or around people, or just in general. I would have very vivid dreams. Sometimes I'd dream something and then it would happen. I saw an angel when I was young in my bedroom that I shared with my sister. And I always used to be very scared at night because I didn't understand what was going on. And I don't think that was really something talked about much, anyways, at the church we went to or with my mom or my grandma even. But the angels and demons, yeah, but not the fact that, like a 5 or 6 year old is seeing things and dreaming dreams that are happening. So that was my first experience. But when I had my stroke, I lived alone. I had passed out on my couch in my living room for hours. I don't know exactly how many hours, but longer than 4, which is the window for a TPA shot, which is a shot you can get if you have the clot type of stroke that can help reverse immediate side effects. So I was passed out for a while and I woke up. I had a cat named Karma. It was all black, Maine Coon, and he was howling at me and batting my face. And I really believe that was a divine thing that occurred, that happened, because cats, if anyone's a cat owner, cats don't do that. Even Maine Coons, who are considered the dog cats of the world, dogs will bark at you and things, but cats don't do that. So he actually woke me up, and when I woke up, I couldn't move half of my body. My whole right side of my body, which is my dominant side, didn't move at all. And it was also by, I say coincidences. I personally don't believe in coincidences. I believe things happen because they were supposed to happen, or they were pointed. That's not what I believe. But that night, I had plugged my phone in my living room, and I always plugged it in my bedroom. And that was the one night, for some reason, or afternoon, I should say, I plugged my phone in my living room. And that's a big deal because I was a business owner, so I always tried to plug my phone in at night in my bedroom so I could get some mental break and space, because my phone was always dinging. So that was also a divine intervention. So I went to my phone to call 911, and I couldn't process how to do that. Like, I was very alert, but my mind was like, I couldn't process it. Also, my right side wasn't moving. That's your dominant side. And if you never are used to using just one side, like, I've never had a broken bone or anything like that, it was just very strange to me. And I ended up hitting the last number I called, which happened to be a best friend of mine who happened to pick up and could tell that something was really wrong. And he ended up coming to my place, and he said my front door was wide open and it has a deadbolt and a lock on it. And there was no way I opened it. I could not walk. I was literally like on the floor waiting for him to get there. And then he called 911 and the EMTs took me. So right there are three definitely divine interactions that I had between my cat waking me up, my phone being plugged in the living room instead of the bedroom, like every other night. And then my front door that had a deadbolt on it being wide, like literally wide open. All of these things were like, some of these things were told to me after, because when you're in the middle of it, you don't really have a sense of time or, what's going on. Like, your brain is just really confused because it's not getting oxygen to it. So I didn't even know I had a stroke until the ER doctor, EMTs came, was an ambulance, went to the ER. ER doctor comes into my room after, and apparently I had an MRI scan, CT scans, all these things. I don't remember that. And he said I had a stroke. And I told him he had the wrong room. This whole time I was I'm cognitive, but I think your mind blacks out things when it's really traumatic. Well, and also with a stroke, the type I had, my brain wasn't getting oxygen and they didn't know I was having a stroke, right? Or had a stroke. I don't know what the real words are for that, but I was in ICU for a whole week, and I see you by the hospital for almost a month. But I see you for a week because my clot would not dissolve and it kept moving in my brain. And it actually caused double vision for a year. And as you can see, I don't have that now. But I had definitely also a godsend of a neurosurgeon who decided against surgery for me because the clot originally started in my neck, and that's a very delicate area of the human body. And I was so young, and so he said I would have a better chance of them trying to make the clot dissolve than go in and do like a stent or something, you know? So when I was in ICU, something that happened that was so comforting, I had two things that happened. I was very close with my Grammy, Uncle Richard's birth mother. And she helped raise me and my sister for a while my mom was divorced and single, and then my mother remarried. But for a while, it was just my Grammy, my mom, my sister, and I. And we were super close, like very, very close. And the first night in ICU, when my clot in my brain did not dissolve, right? It's like, so you don't really sleep. Some people say they hallucinate, some people go in a coma. I don't believe I hallucinated. I did not go in a coma. It's really strange how your body can just survive on adrenaline and trying to fix what is not right in your body at the moment. And my gram definitely visited me. She sat on the end of my bed and it felt so real. And she was just there for like, I would say almost 2 nights. And no one else saw her, but I saw her. And she was there and she was wearing, I don't know if you remember Uncle Richard, but her favorite color was like that light blue. She had her light blue turtleneck on. Now, this is August. So, it's just like as if I remembered her before. And she was just so calming because she's always a very calming presence to me when she was here on Earth. It was pretty cool just to have that experience. And then I also had two angels that I saw for a month straight. Like they never left. They're standing guard inside of my ICU room door. And then when I got moved to, I don't know what it's called, like another wing, not ICU, but still, you're still critical care, kind of, but for strokes, but not ICU. They were there too. And they were there the whole month. And then once I was out of the woods and my clot dissolved and I didn't die, they weren't there anymore. And then I went to outpatient rehab. But that was very comforting to me and not weird to me, or, I'm used to that, like seeing things, hearing things, sensing things. But it was incredibly comforting and peaceful to be able to see into the spiritual realm and see my gram and just know I was going to be okay. That's how I felt.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Anything else to tell about the story? And then I have what I'd like to comment on too.
Oh, sure. So I hit my 5 year, I call it life anniversary in August. And I've been very fortunate to. I live with my mom and who I call my dad, and they're younger. And my mom's been my caregiver and helped me with everything. But as you can see, I speak very clearly. I never had aphasia, which is when you can't speak or communicate. I had surgery in my eye, it was turned in and it's turned back, and I can see clearly. This is my right hand, it's pretty straight considering. And I'm still progressing at almost a 5 year mark. And they say you won't progress past a year. They also say the mortality rate for someone who's had the type of stroke I did is 5 years. And they also said I'd never walk again. And I do walk today. So I really believe it's the power of your faith and belief. And I don't believe doctors are God. And I know that God was with me, my Grammy was with me, angels are there, And I really knew I knew I wouldn't die. I'm not afraid to die anyways, but I don't believe you're supposed to die young. And I'm young as relative, I guess, of course, but 34, I would say most people would say is really young. So I'm happy that I'm here and still progressing, even at almost the 5 year mark.
Yes, wonderful. I followed your progress for over these years because you would put a report on Facebook, and you've put many reports on Facebook, and I have been awed with your determination to fight through the pain and to work through it and to keep working at recovering the use of your right side. And you have done a marvelous job of doing that,
Well, thank you for
where
sharing that.
others might have given up. And it's still painful, I think, when you exercise. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things you can't see with the naked eye that I deal with. I don't feel on the entire right side of my body, don't have any sensation. I don't feel hot or cold on the right side of my body. I have spasms a lot, and I'm always in pain, but I do believe I have a very high pain threshold. So you just kind of get used to it, and you do. It is a choice to fight through it. It has definitely been the most difficult thing I've ever experienced in my life, for sure.
How has that changed you as a person?
I would say definitely has made my belief in the good in people even stronger. And my belief in God even stronger, which I don't know possible because I've always loved God my whole life. I also have learned a lot as a person about the human body and human mind, things I never knew before because I didn't have a reason to. But it's amazing how our brains and bodies, I always say our bodies are designed to heal. We're designed to heal. Along these lines, actually, yesterday I was at a OT workshop, so that's an occupational therapy workshop. And I was in front of about 100 students that are OTs, so they're getting their degree to be an OT, which deals with your upper extremities. So it can be a stroke or it can be from a car accident, it can be sports, it just depends what field. And I said, if you refer to affected side or bad side, I won't answer you. I said, it's my healing arm and my healing hand. And I always believed in the power of words, but I do believe words are incredibly powerful because what you think, what you say, you manifest it into reality. It becomes reality. And that's even a scientifically proven thing with your brain that you can rewire your brain to believe whatever, good or bad, it can go either way. But I am very stubborn and determined anyway, so I'm very mentally strong before this. And if I wasn't, I don't know if I would be here right now.
How did you come to believe that in the power of words and the way you just expressed it? Is this something you always knew?
Always, yeah. From Grammy and my mom, they always prayed with Elaine, my sister, and I every morning, every night. And we did like Psalm 23. And then we also said, I am blessed. I am highly favored. I have an affirmations list I've been saying for 20 years, like of my own as an adult. And it is a mindset, but words are so powerful. Even if you're not someone who believes in anything, words work, period. Regardless, doesn't matter if you believe or not, it works. It's like gravity. But words affect your thoughts, thoughts affect your words, and that affects your reality for sure.
Yes, thank you. So many things happened at the very beginning. Those three things: the cat, the open door, the phone. You mentioned that this was God, especially helping and making things right at that time. Does this speak to a purpose for your life that you're fulfilling now?
I definitely have my entire life known my purpose has been to influence and help people for good and have a positive impact on their life. So for almost 15 years, I did weddings and events for couples and high-end. I ended up doing like $2 million weddings, like, higher end. But when you have a higher end wedding, there's a lot more at your disposal, which is still the root of it all is the couple, right? And you get to impact someone's, I always would say, you plan with them for like a year. So you become like their therapist in a way. You see the family dynamics, you're their CPA, you're their designer. And, I mean, you get really close with people. And I would always feel so fulfilled when a wedding ended, but it's the beginning of the rest of their life. And I got to impact someone for that, for the good. So I wanted to do something with my life that celebrated the good things in life and celebrated love and celebrated people. So that happened. But now, since I've had a stroke, I can't do anything except if I'm helping another person that was in my position at the beginning. So I've had it on my heart since this happened. Like, I was in the hospital and this started in my mind. I want to either join a foundation that helps stroke survivors, like the American Stroke Foundation, or start my own, which I probably would do because I've had two businesses. I've served on a board before, so I know how that all works. I've done a lot of nonprofit galas where people pay a lot of money for a plate and raise money for the foundation, and it actually goes to the patients that need it. But that is just the beginning of divine intervention in this part of my story. I have no medical debt, which is unheard of. It's insane how much being in a hospital and outpatient costs. I had almost at this by this point almost $1 million completely paid for in full by either being applicable and a candidate because of my age and my likelihood of recovery, or a charity that, or a nonprofit hospital that wanted to help someone that would recover, they think would recover. I have zero medical debt, and I went through a month in the hospital, outpatient or inpatient rehab, which is where you are living there, and it's intense right after you get out of the hospital, and then outpatient rehab when you're not living there, and you go to therapy every day of the week. I did that for 2 years, so that's unheard of. I had three different groups in two states. So I lived in Dallas, Texas, where I had my stroke, and now I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, with my mom and dad, and in two states, three different groups that have paid for everything for me. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen at all.
You are speaking to us tonight. This isn't your first time speaking about your stroke, I imagine.
Sorry. No, it was not my first time. I have been on a few podcasts since this has happened. I do have a very strong social media presence, both on Facebook and Instagram, where I've connected with a lot of other stroke survivors all over the world, not just in the States. And I'm really comfortable speaking about it too, because I mean, I did have to speak in front of large groups for a long time for what I did before. But yeah, I always say yes to any opportunity to share my story, because if it helps one person, or if it plants that thought that a stroke isn't just XYZ, or a stroke isn't a death sentence, or a stroke doesn't just affect someone who's older, but it's someone who's 30 can have one. Like, if it can be anything to help prevent that. So there's an acronym that they share. It's called Be Fast. So it's your balance, your eyes, your face, like if your face starts drooping, if your arm doesn't work, if your speech starts slurring, like you sound like you're drunk, then to you, it's time to call 911. And they just added, since I've had a stroke, the B part. And that's literally what I had, balance and ice were my problems. I didn't have any of the other symptoms. And even a medical professional, she didn't even think that a 34-year-old could be having the symptoms of a stroke oncoming. So if that resonates with anyone, remember that. Be fast. If you ever see that, don't hesitate. Just do it. Take the person to the hospital or go to the hospital because you could literally save someone's life.
Did you ever write like a pamphlet of instructions or information for people for what they could do to cope with a stroke or how to recover?
I would say, so I try to share every day on social media. And if you re if you even if you click my video, like I do reels, they're called reels, the videos, but I always write from my heart, like it's not AI, someone else isn't writing, it's me. Like the other day I wrote about, I don't know, 15 things not to say to a stroke survivor. I share like these are the things that help me when I go, when I fly and travel, like these five things. These are the things that I deal with. These are the things that I do on a daily basis that help me to be better. And then I share, I'm sure you've seen Uncle Richard, some of the exercises I do that help me. I share like that when I ride the recumbent bike, which is a bike you sit on instead of like cycling because I have balance problems. I share all of that. So that's like my online diary, I would say. So everything's there. And I have a public profile. You're welcome. If anyone's on Instagram, or if you don't have an Instagram or Facebook, you can make one for free and it's definitely worth it because I do share a lot. And then you'll see other stroke survivors have commented and it's helped them. And I share every day.
All right, thank you. I'd like to open the show, the gallery, and ask others if they'd like to ask questions or have any comment. Let's see if who's left in the gallery. I know Anne Marie said she had to leave, but we have Lynn is present. Lynn, you're still muted, and then Kathy. Do either of you have questions or comments? Nope. How about here in the room? Beatsy or Tom?
You've done extraordinarily well. I admire you.
Thank you very much.
Super job.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I have no further questions. I'm just glad that you're still with us.
I am too. I am too. There's a lot more life to live.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, I'm always an open book, and if any, through you, Uncle Richard, if anyone wants my email or to follow me, they're welcome to. If you want to ever get some inspiration, I do have, people that haven't had a stroke that tell me I inspire them, and I had no idea. Didn't realize they were stalking me, but hey, if it helps one person, it's worth it to me.
All right. Thank you, Angie, for being our guest tonight. Are we ready to say good night?
Good night.
Good night.
Good
Thank
night.
you, Uncle Richard. Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.